Chapter 100, Psalm 100. For those of you opening your Bibles for the first time to Psalm 100, you're going to be incredibly encouraged. You're going to look and go, can there be a shorter psalm? No, but I'm going to go extra long today just to challenge your faith. And I'm just teasing, but we'll have a great time with it this morning. Title of the message, Are We Joyful Christians? Are we joyful Christians? Let's read these five verses here. Psalm 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Title of the message, Are We Joyful Christians? And so I want to help you. Why should we follow Psalm 100? Why should we follow Psalm 100? There's going to be eight commands in Psalm 100. But why should we follow those commands? I know we could say because God gives them. When God gives a command, it's always for our good. But I want to show you in verse 5. Why should we follow Psalm 100? The word for, it's because. Let me help you understand, why should we do all these eight commands that are given to us in verse 5? It says, for the Lord is good. This is so important. When I, and we all go through this, but there's going to be times when you're going to have such trouble, so many challenges, circumstances that don't make sense. None of you would intellectually disagree with the Lord is good. But it's important that we not only agree intellectually, but that we receive the benefits of knowing that God is good. And so it is important not just intellectually and from a knowledge perspective to know that he's good, but to embrace and enjoy the goodness of God even when life doesn't give what we want. Why should we follow the Lord? Because he is good. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His mercy, I remind you, this mercy, not getting what we deserve. Grace, getting what we don't deserve. Mercy, not getting what we do deserve. The only way we can not get what we do deserve is through the sacrifice of Christ. Ultimately, the only way we avoid eternal damnation, the punishment that we deserve, is because God justly shows mercy because Jesus took our punishment, and by faith, he receives the punishment of Christ in our place. His mercy is everlasting. It's so important. I've been dealing with this just with a number of folks lately, right? That they believe they can lose their salvation. I don't argue a lot with people. I argue about this one. Here's why. If you believe you can lose your salvation, you believe in a different gospel. And I will stand for the gospel. And I'll try to be kind about it. But understand this. People don't like it when I say this. When they think they can lose their salvation, I'll say, then Jesus isn't enough. And they'll go, oh, no, that's not what I believe. No, you believe he gets you in by faith, but you keep you in by your obedience. If that's the case, I'll see you in hell. Understand, how many sins did it require to separate us from God? How many? Just one. Just one. If sin is what separated us and I can separate myself again, what would separate me from God again? It would be sin. Sin is missing the mark of perfection. His mercy is everlasting. When he bestows his mercy on you by faith in Christ, it's everlasting. It's permanent. Just mark this down if you want to show people when you receive eternal life. John 5:24. Don't turn there. It's one of my favorite verses that says that you know, Jesus said, if you believe in him that sent me, hath everlasting life. You have it right then, shall not come into condemnation, and have past tense, passed from death unto life. When do you get eternal life? Upon faith. His righteousness is imputed unto you upon faith. Romans chapter 2, 3, and 4, you'll see that clearly. It is, you immediately get everlasting life upon faith. If you can lose your salvation, it wasn't very everlasting, was it? So I want you to understand, I press people with this because it's the honor of Christ for us to suggest that his mercy isn't everlasting when he bestows it on you by faith. That is to disparage Christ. It's not Jesus plus you. It's Jesus alone, period. He's my only hope. And so his mercy is everlasting. We ought to praise the Lord for that, right? Aren't you glad that there's never a risk in eternity that I can blow it and lose the mercy of God? It's everlasting. You got to understand, these psalms will be preached during eternity. His mercy is everlasting. And then I love this. His truth endures forever, all generations. Just look at this, verse 6. This is why we are going to, why we should do these eight things that he talks about. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. I want you to understand this. It is, and I don't pound on this. I preach from the King James Bible because it's the text from which it's translated from, because I believe that's the text that the Lord preserved. Every translation of the Bible until nearly 1900 was translated from the very same text. Suddenly we discovered, quote-unquote, and then proven wrong, older manuscripts. If the Bible said the oldest manuscript is the one that you should count on, you know what manuscript I would count on? The oldest one. But you will read, and it's a little dishonest, in all these other translations, they'll say, the better manuscripts say this. Who told them what better was? Better is older. That's older doesn't mean better. You know what? If I said, hey, I got this 1972 car, or I got a brand new car, would you want? The older one is better, my friend. Well, it depends. Maybe it's a classic. Okay, you guys. Some of you guys are so argumentative that I have to think of everything you're thinking about. And I love it, but it's when things get older, they usually deteriorate. God didn't say the oldest text was my word. He said this, I will preserve my word. His truth endures forever to all generations. Now, you understand this. I try not to go into this too much. Only people, now I'm going to say this, only people that use the King James Bible believe, they're the only people that believe we have the Greek and the Hebrew as originally given, precisely to the very lowest jot and tittle. Everybody else believes we don't have it as exactly given. There's a lot of ignorance. Most people don't realize that, but that nobody believes, no quote-unquote scholar believes, we have the Word of God as originally given. That's why if you read commentaries, they'll go, we're not sure what God was saying here because it looks to be altered. I may not know what God's trying to say, but I know that's what he said. Perfectly, right? So I want you to understand his truth endureth. And so here's what they teach. This is what they, dynamic equivalent. This is what everybody else believes that doesn't believe that God preserved the Hebrew perfectly and the Greek perfectly. They believe, because they'll take this, his truth endures forever. They'll say this. Well, God didn't preserve it exactly as given, but he maintained the truth in it. Which is more difficult? To exactly preserve what was given, or let it be altered and maintain the same message. The second one seems way more difficult than the first, does it not? But he has promised us. He's promised us. Let me just take you here. I'll turn back to Psalm chapter 12. I'll just show you. And look, I don't think we ought to... Do you ever hear me tooting this horn very often? I don't. Because you know this? Althea. You got to shake your head. This means yes, and this means no. Do you promise to answer me? Okay. So now, would your pastor want someone reading from the ESV? I would. It's better than nothing. You follow me? What were you thinking? I'm just kidding. Would I prefer, and this may have been what you're thinking, would I prefer they would read the King James Bible? I would. Would I be unhappy if they're reading the ESV? I wouldn't. Would I be unhappy? And there's a lot worse translations, right? The Holy Spirit's big. God's big. Do not make this your argument. Do not make this your argument and make people uncomfortable. I want you to understand this. God preserved his word perfectly to the lowest level to every generation. I want you to understand that. But I tell you this so that you'll appreciate it, and sometimes it's a little bit difficultist. Hitherto, we don't talk that way, right? We don't talk in the English that our Bible's written in. But I want to tell you, if you understood the English, it's even better than you thinkest. It is. And I know, I'm not mocking it. I'm not. But it'll help you guys hang in there. I tell every new believer, and these guys right here, give it 6 months and you'll be fine with the King James Bible. Right now, it's a little bit tough, right? But you can understand it, but just hang in there. And I'll explain it even tomorrow night more for you guys, all right? But look at Psalm chapter 12. Psalm chapter 12, look at this, verse 6. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. The words, not just the message, not just the truth, the words. Verse 7, thou shalt keep them. Keep what? The words. O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. And God says he will preserve them from that generation forever. And he does. And he reiterates that here, that his truth endureth to all generations. And praise the Lord, he does maintain his truth, but it's through words is how you maintain truth. And he preserved the words. And so I want you to have this confidence, right? I want you to have this confidence. Steve and I were talking about this a little bit this morning. I am a little shocked that the world doesn't attack Christianity for not believing we have the Bible as originally given. I'm kind of shocked that it's not this big issue that go, well, you don't believe it either. You don't believe you have it the way it was given in the first place. Right? I hope somebody says that to me one day. I'll go, well, no, I do. That is an incredible vulnerability, is it not? In the world, and I think that's just the mercy of God, because you sound just like anybody else that says, well, that's just written by men. No, it's God's word. God supernaturally preserves it. God supernaturally superintends it to make sure that it's preserved. I want you to have confidence in this. You can go back to the Greek and the Hebrew and have 100% confidence. That's the Greek and Hebrew that God gave us. You say, oh, Steve, I could show you things. I'm going to tell you this. I've seen all the criticisms. I'm either going to believe the Bible and have a little bit of faith that even with the criticism that God did it, because you know what? I know he did. And if he didn't, he's a liar. And if God's a liar, what hope do we have? He preserved it. And you know this? Just imagine this. We want to follow these next 8 things. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures forever to all generations. That's a reason why we should take heed. Because if his truth didn't endure, and his mercy isn't everlasting, and he's not good, we have no hope. But it's this. We can know for sure what he wants. Now let's just roll through this. Psalm chapter 100, verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Verse 1, look at this. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Make a joyful noise. I do love it. I went out this morning. I was just checking the parking lot situation, and it's good, and just seeing, okay, what is it? What does it look like? And it's good. So thank you guys for those that park down here. We have spaces for visitors and stuff like that. That's good. And but when I was walking down the sidewalk, beautiful sound. I heard you singing. Honestly, if you ask me, I'm probably wrong for walking out to take a look at that, because I need to be singing too, and I love to sing. But it's a beautiful thing. One day, I would love to have an outdoor service and have us sing, and the acoustics of this layout and this land will carry and make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Why? Because he's good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures forever. Second, I want you to see this. Look at this, verse 2. This is so good. Serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. You ought to serve the Lord. But you ought to serve the Lord with gladness. It is, it's a privilege to serve the Lord. It's an honor to serve the Lord. And, you know, Clay, look up at that wall right there. Did you notice that wall had a hole in it last week? Yeah, you're the one that messed it up. Thank you. Thank you. Where's Don at? Oh, he's over there. I thought you might have been carrying one of the babies. Beautiful scene this morning when I was like, Don's not sitting with Chris. What's he doing? I was going to go slap him in the ears. And all of a sudden I saw Don. Did you have Moses or Caleb? Don't know. He did part the kitchen water, though, so probably with Moses. If you don't know, that's okay. But anyway, Don patched up the wall. He doesn't want recognition for that. But you know what I love about the reason I'm saying it? You did it with gladness. And you're infectious to me. Don't get the big head. Don't get the big head. I'm a head popper, my friend. But when I see you guys, I love days like this. I love, and you know, I'm not asking us to be fake. Enjoy the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord. Is there anything better? I mean, I love this. I love your love for Anthony and Camille and Jacob and just helping them get started, right? And stressed enough, right? This guy would work 80 hours a week, and he's running into the season of slowing down in landscaping. You trust the Lord, okay? You better work, but you trust the Lord, all right? But I don't want you to fret. The Lord doesn't want you to be stressed out, right? And so look at this. What do you have hanging on your arm there? Your wife. Doesn't that sound good? Your wife. You know, the Lord is good, is he not? And life is just a pain in the neck a lot of times, right? But I want you to do this. Serve the Lord with gladness. Enjoy the Lord. I'm not asking to be fake. When life's hard, you come to us. You weep with us. We'll weep with you. We'll help you. I'm not asking for fake. But I want you to know this. I love it. It's what I love about Vacation Bible School. I warn every year. I go, we're going to be nice to these kids. And you guys are probably like, we're worried about you. Worried about you. Worried about you. I've never seen you be mean to the kids. It's okay. They're going to mess things up. The best thing about a church is if your walls are getting chipped and messed up, that means you got kids. Or irresponsible adults. I'm just kidding. Let's enjoy the Lord. Enjoy the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Now, here's what I've done all my life. I've never done anything right. I will always volunteer by God's grace. That's what my parents taught me that. You volunteer, you serve the Lord. And you know what the next thing is? You learn to enjoy it. God always moves my heart. That doesn't mean everything. You have to do everything, but first serve. And then you'll learn to love it. You'll learn to love it. Serve the Lord with gladness. Why? The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures forever. Third, come before his presence with singing. With singing. It's just, you know, with singing. I don't know. Can you sing and be in a bad mood? I don't know. Come to the Lord. Come before the Lord with singing that says, I'm excited. And it is. It's a theme. I talk to a lot of you. I love your concern. You can say, even old Alberto this morning. God's working on him, right? I probably shouldn't declare this, but I'm burdened. I want Alberto to follow the Lord in baptism. But he's had an emotional attachment to his unscriptural baptism when he was a baby. But this morning, I talked to him about it a little bit, and I said, don't get mad at me. It almost caused a division between us. And I just told him, I said, I want you to be right with God. And baptism follows salvation, Alberto. And he said, I know, I've been thinking about it. I'm thrilled. You keep praying for this young man. He's going to be the one translating. So Anthony's got a couple of Hispanic guys that we're going to get here, and Alberto is going to translate. And so, you know, he may get a few things wrong, but because I'm not going to pause. It's not going to be normal translation. I'm just going to preach, and he's going to translate. Oh, yeah. He can do it. He can do it, right? And they may leave thinking, you know, you have to be saved by works or something, but no. What I know about Alberto is Alberto knows that, and Alberto would never say that. They may miss some because I might go fast, but come before His presence with singing. And, you know, I'll tell you this, let Saturday be a good day for you. Get right with the Lord. Saturday's a sobering day for me. Saturday is, I want to come into the pulpit, and I try to prepare my heart throughout the week. Saturday is, I want to come into this pulpit right with the Lord, because you know what? I'll come into His presence with singing. Don't show up on Sunday morning. Always show up on Sunday morning, but how about showing up with your heart right with God and you're like, it's good to be here. I want to sing with the Lord. Number four, know that the Lord is God. I'm just going to put three things under here. He made us. We are His sheep and the sheep of His pasture. So let's just look at this in verse 3. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. I think this can be talking about lost people. Know that the Lord is God. You know, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Are you a saved sheep or lost sheep? Right? He made us. He made every single person. We are His sheep. I don't think that has to mean they're saved. And the sheep of His pasture. We are His people. That second one's supposed to say we are His people. Whoever is, I need to get a new person doing this. So we are His people. It's me, for those that don't know. So we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. It's God loves His creation. And know that the Lord is God. Always remember that. And I know I'm coming back to you guys a lot today just because, you know, I'm reliving kind of my life, right? What it was like to start out and all I had was Deb, right? And you know, our first apartment, we could do the burglar check in like one look, nobody here. You know, and we had nothing but each other. And I want you to just, it's a lot more expensive. You know what my apartment was when this is crazy, $285 heat and water included, $285. I know. And it was a tent. But know that the Lord is God. This is important for you too. He is God. He made you. You're His sheep and the sheep of His pasture. And He's going to take care of you. Now, that does not remove our responsibility. But I want you to, okay? He is God. He made us. We are His sheep and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. Enter His courts with thanksgiving. Wait a minute, what was it saying, verse 5? Did I type that wrong too? Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Did I get the next one wrong? Okay, I put courts. I don't know what's happening to me. Late last night, it's supposed to say gates there, all right? Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and enter into His courts with praise. It's this. There's going to be a distinction. Enter into His courts with thanksgiving. You know, it would be good. It would be good that you wake up on Sunday morning and just think about how good God is. Be thankful. Be thankful. It'd be good if you just were driving with the kids. Oh, are we going to do this again, Dad? Yeah. What are you guys thankful for? You know, I mean, do it. Do it. We need to talk about what we're thankful for. We need to make it public what we're thankful for. I mean, I can look all over. I'm thankful we have a place that has air conditioning. I'm thankful we have a place to worship. I'm thankful for a people that serve with. I will tell you, I enjoy serving with you, and it's not because I'm the pastor. I will tell you, I believe God is close to doing great things. We are the barrier. There's some things going on that I'm just watching God. I'm like, whoa, okay, that's pretty good. I'm super encouraged by stories like that you told, Carla, stories that you tell, Lee. I love those. I need to be reminded of those. That's why I think it was worthy of the time just to let people know, oh, what you did 8 years ago wasn't in vain. We'll serve the Lord and come into His courts with thanksgiving. Oh, God, how good you are. You know, are you feeling a little better today? I know. It all becomes relative, doesn't it? It's like, wow. Thank you, Lord, that I don't feel like I felt like 2 weeks ago, right? And I know that's important. But be thankful to the Lord. Put in the hospital. Have a thankful spirit. Be a testimony to the nurses and the doctors. And I will tell you, fake it in the hospital. Every single person that you meet, if you're ever in the hospital, they should know that you're a Christian. Then you should be like, hey, great. No problem, you broke the needle in my arm. It'll come out. You know, if something bad happens, I don't know. Don't just have the spirit of a Christian that says, my happiness is not based on your performance. It's not based on how everything goes today. My happiness is in the Lord, and I have tons to be thankful for. On my worst day, I'm going to heaven. What about you? And we got to prepare our hearts and minds for that, because who wants to go to a hospital? And here I am, Bill, you pray for him. When's the procedure? A week from Wednesday, right? And you pray for Bill, right? It's enter into his courts his gates with thanksgiving, enter into his courts with praise. It's this, people need the Lord, and you're in his hands. You can trust him. We'd really love to know what's the outcome going to be, right? We would. But you're in his hands, and he cares for you because he's good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures forever. But we ought to take it to the Lord. You know, make sure next Sunday school that you bring it up and we have a special time of prayer for you, right? And so you didn't bring it up today, but I want our people praying for you. I want our people praying for you. Enter his courts with praise. It's this. So this is important. Anybody, be thankful unto him. Do you see this? Look at verse 7. That's number 7. Look at verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and enter into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him. All right, front row scholars. What's the difference between number 5 and number 7? And location doesn't count. Who whispered location? That is like... It's okay. I'm not making fun of location. I am. No, it's just... Enter his courts with thanksgiving. Be thankful unto him. Gates. Yes, gates. Right. Yeah. Here I was talking about the veracity of God's word, and I'm butchering it on my own slide, right? It's like, the Lord's just telling me, aren't you glad I preserved it? Amen. It'd be courts if he didn't. Let me tell you what I think the difference is. Enter his courts with thanksgiving. We just ought to be a thankful people. Be thankful unto him. The core of everything. When we're truly thankful, it's like why I love Thanksgiving. Well, who are you giving thanks to? Well, there can only be one. That's God. I know you can be thankful for your parents, right? I think people that are lost can be thankful, but I think the crux of it is be thankful unto him. It's this, when something good happens, be thankful. And Don, I know when I praised you here, and it's really dangerous, I'm thankful for the Lord. And I know this, you didn't do it for me, you did it for the Lord. And a little patch like that, the pain of a little patch like that, is you had to come here 4, 5, 6 times. Because, you know, you can't, you got to put one layer, sand it, put another layer. I don't even know. I don't want to know. I don't want to have that skill, so I never have to do it. But be thankful unto the Lord. If you're struggling with depression, here's what I tell you to do. Write down 100 things that you are thankful to God over and read them every day with feeling. And keep reading them every day. Read it 100 times if you need to. The Bible says, finally, brother, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, probably not in that order, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. We need to get our minds on being thankful to the Lord. If you ever want to have, anybody ever wants to have marital counseling for me, I require this. I want you to write 50 things down that you love about your spouse, 50 things down that you love about your spouse. And for 14 days, I want you to go through it in the morning, in the evening, about these things that you love about your spouse, whether you're thankful for. My sister, she's having a Bible study with me again. That's amazing. She just started 2 weeks ago. So my sister's having a Bible study with me. It's just, I'm thrilled about it. And years ago, I said, because she just was so belligerent, I said, I'm not going to have a Bible study with you until you write down 50 things that you're thankful for God about. Because she was just railing on God every time I met with her. And she said, I can't do that. And I said, I won't have a Bible study with you then. And I didn't. But God's worked on her heart, softened her heart, and it's a great place, right? you struggle with Thanksgiving? Here's how you know if you struggle with Thanksgiving. Are you whining and complaining a lot? If we whine and complain, that's the opposite of Thanksgiving, murmuring and complaining. Be thankful unto Him. When we focus on Him, is there anything to be unthankful for? There's not. If we focus on this life, on my circumstances, compared to God, I have much to be unthankful for. And I really don't. I'm not saying that. But it is, if I focus outside of God, I can find a lot of things to be unthankful for. Are you happy about the way our government's going? Right? Stop thinking about it. Because what can you do about it? Nothing. Nothing. So you know what? Then do something that you can do something about. He's like, take the gospel to every creature. He didn't say, get involved in politics. I'm not saying, I'll just tell you, I don't have time. You know, the best thing I could do is if God opens doors and allows me to influence politicians, it's going to be a Bible study and with the gospel. Period. I know, I'm a broken record. I have, you know, everybody comes to me, they go, I have this problem. I go, I have the solution. You name your problem. I have the solution. I know what the solution is. What's the solution, Randall? The gospel. The gospel. The gospel. You can all say, well, is there anything better? A saved person. Well, I've got the solution. Get your eyes on Jesus Christ. And then if I'm dealing with a guy and I'll say, work! Get to work, right? I'll tell him, but let me tell you, the key to life, being thankful unto Him. And then finally, number 8, look at this. Verse 4, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and enter His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Just exalt His name. You know, it's fascinating that we can bless God, right? I've talked about this many times. If I say, Stephen, you were a blessing to me. I mean, it was like you were, you helped me, you encouraged me. It could be in any way. It could be tangible, it could be spiritual, it could be anything. Bless His name. Encourage people about the name of God. Uplift the name of God so that the Lord could look at you and go, you blessed my name. And we go, how did I bless your name? You exalted me to your friends. You talked about me in the way that honored me. You uplifted me. You spoke of my son. You told people about me. You were kind. See, I'm not saying with every act of kindness you have to say, well, Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. But you need to be ready. You need to have that objective. You need to be ready and have it on your lips at all times to say, how can I share with you the most powerful, impactful message of the universe? And that's how we'll bless His name. You stand up for the Lord. And this, let's just finish, and I'll just review it one more time. Why do these matter? Because the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures forever to all generations, including ours. And so, here's how we bless His name. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. Enter His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him. The Psalms are powerful. The Psalms are the best book if you struggle with anxiety, depression, discouragement. The Psalms. Not just reading them, living them. If you need help, where's my wife? Right there. And she's so little, I never see her. It's like, it is this. Deb will help you make a song out of your favorite song. I would encourage you to pick Psalm 119. See if she can make a song out of that. But my wife will help you. You know why? So you sing the Psalms. The Psalms were meant to be songs. So that it can become part of you. You know, if you just took this outline, this simple outline here, all I did was write down what the commands of God were. This will change your spirit. May not pay your bills. I'm not saying you shouldn't have to work. And I'm not saying life isn't hard, but I'll tell you this. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. I love this. I watch. You encouraged me, Anthony. I knew what I was preaching this afternoon. You know why? Your mouth was moving when we were singing. Right? Here's what I want it to be one day. Right? I do. All right? Well, let me hear you before I get you push it too far. But I want it to be from the bottom of your heart with enthusiasm. So you make a joyful noise unto the Lord and you just let it loose. It'll encourage you. It's therapy. I didn't look at you, Camille. Were you singing? And you better. Jacob? Were you singing? Thou shalt not bear false witness. But I didn't look at you. Did you say you were singing? It's good. Sing unto the Lord, all ye lands. He's good. His mercy is everlasting. And His truth, I opened up a can of worms. His truth endures forever. Let's pray. Father, I am thankful for these psalms that you've taken us through. I'm beginning to understand better how this great book can be favorites of many, many of your saints. They love this book. And the best thing about this book is it's about you. And I guess maybe that's why I've